Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. These tremendous words, John chapter 8, verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And our subject this evening is the freedom of truth. Well, dear friends, we gather this evening for a very joyous occasion, and it's wonderful to see so many here. So our prayer, and we invite you all to pray with us, is that we need a bigger building. We have done so for a long time, and particularly for occasions such as this. But it's wonderful to see this place full for this baptism service. And I will attempt to be brief this evening because we will have two testimonies later on, as well as the baptisms following my message. But we must present the gospel on these occasions because the reason we have baptisms, the reason we have testimonies is because of the gospel, because these dear brothers have heard the gospel and they have believed the gospel. So the gospel, this message, is why we are here, why so many of us are here. And I won't go into the context as I normally do because time is short. But these words, well, they need no introduction, really. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So this is the first thing we could say about the gospel message, about the nature of the gospel message. The most fundamental thing we could say is that it is true. It is called the truth. That is how it is defined. And this ought to be the reason why a Christian believes the gospel. A Christian believes the gospel, a true Christian believes the gospel, not simply because it's part of his culture, not because his family are Christian, that's not why we are Christians, not even because we think that the Christian religion is better than all other religions. We are not Christians because we think Christianity is the best religion. We are Christians because it is true. The Christian gospel is true. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And I remember when I was seeking the Lord, and many of you will know this, I wasn't actually seeking to be religious. I wasn't even really seeking after God. I was seeking after truth. What is the truth about this world, about this life, about man, about God? What is the truth? Why are we all here? That's what I was seeking after, not religion, not church going, nothing like that. And I often say to people, if you earnestly seek after truth in any respect, if you earnestly seek after truth, that search will always bring you to the Word of God. That search will always bring you to the gospel, because the gospel alone is true. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And not only is it one of the great reasons why we are Christians, but it is a great privilege. What a wonderful privilege for Christians. Do we ever think of it in this way? What a wonderful privilege that we have the truth. This is one of the many blessings that we have as Christian people. So much blessing, but we have the truth. "Ye shall know the truth about everything. The truth about everything. We know the truth about where we all came from. Man does not have the truth. The unbelieving world does not have the truth. The unbelieving world, the best they can do is just guess. Where do we come from? Let's speculate. Let's theorize. How did this world come to be? Well, some say Big Bang Theory. Perhaps that's how we came into being. Others say evolution, maybe. This is all guesswork, this is all theory. Others have wilder theories, Maybe aliens from outer space, little green men came to this planet and sowed a seed and so on. That's the best that men can do. They can just guess. We know the truth. We know the truth about what happened. God has created this world. God has created us. We are made in his image. We don't need to guess. We don't need to create theories. We are partakers of the truth. We are guardians of the truth. We know the truth about the past. We know the truth about the future. Again, man can only guess what the future holds. Give an estimate. What does the future hold for mankind? How will the world end? That's quite prominent at this present time. Many people asking, how will the world end? Some say climate crisis, and they make all these forecasts. They're guessing the world will end in 2050, or perhaps 2090, or some other date, guesswork. Some others say that, it will be a nuclear war, some kind of great conflict that will bring an end to the world. This is all guesswork. We know the truth. We have the truth. The world, how does it end? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. He will return. Every eye shall see him. Every knee shall bow. And he shall begin his everlasting reign. That's the truth. We don't need to guess about these things. So what a wonderful blessing we have. What a wonderful privilege. We have the truth. Of course, many people will ask us, do you really believe all of that that the Bible says? You really believe that that is the truth? That is what we're constantly asked. Well, yes, we do. And I'll give you just a couple of reasons, perhaps three. We believe these things, well, because they have been revealed to us by God. Of course, they have. We as ourselves, as mere creatures, we cannot possibly know the past, the future. The only way we can know the truth about these things is if they have been revealed to us by God. And so we can trust these things. We can trust what the Word of God says. It is not of man. It's not of us. It's God's revealed truth to us. And we know, of course, that God cannot lie. In the Old Testament, there is that verse in Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. For men, it's natural to lie. Men always lie. Men will deceive each other willfully and cheerfully. You would never believe somebody if they said, I've never lied, because it's so human to lie. If you are a man, if you are a human being, you will lie. You have lied in your life. It's part of our human character. But God is not a man that he should lie, and God has revealed his truth to us. God is holy. God cannot lie. God cannot sin. Not a single untruth. If God was to lie, well, then he would cease to be God, because he has sinned, and he would cease to be holy. So we trust that God is true. God is holy. God reveals his truth to us. And God's truth, well, it is absolute truth. Absolute truth. That is the truth of God. The absolute truth. And this sets it apart from everything else in the world. There are many philosophies. There are many teachings, many beliefs in this world. But they only contain a part of the truth at best. There are many things. Yes, they contain some truth. Some partial truth. You read these things in various other religions and you say to yourself, well, yes, that's true. It's partially true, but it's only the Word of God that is absolutely true. In all the other religions and all the other philosophies of the world, yes, there's truth, but alongside that truth, there is falsehood. It's not absolute truth. The Word of God, it's complete truth, absolute truth. You can trust it. Holy, true, unlike any other message in the world, the Word of God. And because it's absolute truth, well, it's truth that applies to everybody. Truth that applies to everybody. You know, you hear very often nowadays people saying things like this: what is true for me is not true for you. as if to say there is no absolute truth. What's true for me is not true for you. There's not a truth that we all have to live by. There's not a truth that binds everyone together. No, what's true for me is different to you. We all have different truths. But that's not how it is with the Word of God. It's absolute truth. It's the truth for everybody. You know, even if you had never read the Word of God, the Word of God is still true for you. Even if you had never stepped into a church, the Word of God is still true for you. It's true for everybody. It's not just true for Christians. It's not just true for people who come into a church and listen to it. Oh, it's true for these people, but not for those outside. No, it's absolute truth. True for everybody. This Word of God, well, we need to declare it to this community and to all those around us. Why? Because it's true for everybody. It's absolute truth, not partial truth, not true for some people, but not others. Absolute truth. And this is what we say to people, even unbelievers. God's truth still applies to you. And God's truth, well, it cannot be avoided. It cannot be evaded or erased. What do I mean by that? Well, I've already touched on it, really. Even if you don't believe in God or in the Word of God, it is still true. How does that work? Well, let's just think of this. You can choose, for example, not to believe that your mother was your mother. You could choose to believe that my mother is not my mother, my mother is a stranger. You could choose to believe that, but that doesn't change the actual truth that she is your mother. Of course she is. You believe something else, but the truth is not changed. Or you could believe that your father is not my father. I disown him. I don't believe he's my father. But that doesn't actually change the truth. He is your father. You can't change that. That's the absolute truth. And so it's the same with the things of God. You may choose not to believe in God. God doesn't exist. God is a figment of man's imagination. But that doesn't change the actual truth that God really is there. You know, absolute truth, you cannot change it, regardless of what you choose to believe. It's absolute truth. It's unchangeable. It's immutable. It's like God himself, the truth of God. And his word is true. It cannot be changed by any effort of man. Absolute truth. But the Lord Jesus Christ, let us speak of him just for a few moments. He is God, and he spoke only truth to those who were before him. If we look at verse 26 in John chapter 8, this is what the Lord said, "I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. God the Father has sent God the Son, and he is true." Look at how the Lord Jesus Christ describes the Father. He is true. He is truth. "And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." So God the Father is true. God the Son speaks those things which he has heard of the Father, which of course is truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, everything he said was true. And we must pick one thing up about what the Lord said in this chapter. Let us just look at verse 15. "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." And verse 16, "And yet if I judge, my judgment is true." Again, truth is mentioned here. My judgment is true. Christ's judgment is true. And well, the judgment that we read in the scriptures, Christ's judgment, God's judgment upon the world, upon men, what is that judgment? Well, it is that we are all sinners. That is the judgment, the true judgment. Now, of course, people protest when you say this. People will say we are not sinners. Mankind is not sinful. And they will tell you something like this. "I know plenty of nice people, people who are hardworking, people who are kind, people who are generous." And well, we'd agree with that. There are hardworking people. There are generous people. There are kind people. Yes, we agree with that. But you see, that's not the whole truth about that person. If you know somebody who's nice and kind and generous, well, yes, that's wonderful. But that's only part of the truth of that person. You don't know the whole truth about them. You don't know what they do in private. You know, I've said this many times before in gospel messages, but I used to watch and still do sometimes, sadly, these documentaries about crime and true crime. And you know, so much of the time, the killers or the criminals, nobody ever suspected that they were criminals. Their neighbors are interviewed. Their friends are interviewed. We thought he was a good person. He was so kind. He was so nice and generous. Well, yes, that was true of him in some respect, but you didn't know the whole truth. He wasn't like that, really. You only had the partial truth. So when we judge people, we can only judge partially. We don't have the absolute truth. What they do in secret, what they do in private. You cannot see their heart. You cannot see their thoughts, what they're thinking of you. You know, some people might be smiling at you and shaking your hand, but they hate you in their heart. You can't see that. You can't see the whole truth about people. Our judgment of people is not correct, but God's judgment is true. His judgment is true. He can see the heart. He can see the thoughts. He can see what we do in private. He can see what we do in secret. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says, my judgment is true, he means it absolutely true. Not just partially true, absolutely true. And so this is the judgment upon the world. The world, when God looks upon us, well, he judges each and every one of us as sinners. We all fail the test. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, you know these words. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that man is not sinful, what are we doing? Are we being honest? We're deceiving ourselves, says the word of God. We're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Dear friends, truth. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, time is running on, and I said I would be brief. But the Lord Jesus Christ, let's just look at those words, verse 32. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, what does this mean, that the truth shall make you free? Now, there's a lot I could say, but I'm going to cut it short. And I'm going to say just the important things. Well, the most important thing we can say, or one of the most important things, the truth sets us free from ourselves. From ourselves. Now, that may surprise you why I said that. But, you know, living as an unbeliever, if there's anybody here who's an unbeliever, living as somebody who does not know God, you know, that's not in your best interests. That's a kind of slavery. It's a kind of bondage. Because when you live without God, you are a slave to your own passions, to your own desires, to your own lusts. You must do whatever your nature tells you to do. You are a servant of sin. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ even says here in this passage, verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, the slave of sin. You're not free. You do whatever you are tempted to do. There is no freedom in you. You need to be set free from yourselves. You need to be set free from sin. Sin will only ruin your life. Sin turns into shame and regret and sorrow. Sin takes more than it gives. You must be set free from your own sinful nature. And what about eternity? People who are without God, they never have any thought for eternity. What comes after this life? They're just living for this world, this short life, however long it lasts. In their mind, they do not care about eternal things, just the here and now, just this life. Dear friends, that's not in your best interests. That's a kind of slavery. Your mind is enslaved. We have to stand before God one day. We have to give an account one day before God. And if we do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, then we face a lost eternity. We read what the Lord himself said in verse 24 of this chapter. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now this may sound harsh, but you know what? This is the truth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking truth. If you are without Christ, you will die in your sins. So you must be set free from yourself, from your unbelief. Is there anybody here full of unbelief, full of atheism, don't want to learn about the Lord, not even listening to this message? Well, you must be set free. And well, we will hear these testimonies this evening of how two men have been set free. This is what baptism really is a picture of. It's a picture of a number of things, but it's a picture of being set free from themselves. The old nature is gone. That's what baptism means. When you go into the water, the old person is gone. You've been set free from your old life. The old person who hated God, who did not believe God, who loved his sin, that's gone. You've been set free. And now you are free to do that which you ought to do. Serve God. That is so wonderful. That is biblical freedom, by the way. Biblical freedom, people have the wrong idea of this. Biblical freedom is not doing what you want to do. That's the world's idea of freedom. Freedom for the world is I want to do what I want to do. But what is freedom in the Bible? Freedom in the Bible is doing what you ought to be doing. Doing what you have been created to do by God. That is freedom. You are now free to serve God. You're now free to love him. No more old nature dragging you down. That has been done away with. You love God. You are free now. I will serve God for the rest of my days. This is how the truth sets us free. But above all, dear friends, the truth sets you free from condemnation. This is the gospel, very briefly. We have sinned against God. We deserve to be punished by God for our sin. How can we be set free? Free from the condemnation for our sin? Well, we trust in Christ. We trust in what Christ has done on the cross of Calvary. He came to be our Savior. We understand why he died. Why did he die on the cross? Was it an ordinary death? For so many people observing at that time, they thought it was an ordinary death. It's just a man dying on a cross. Well, in some respects, that was true. It was partially true, but it wasn't the whole truth. The whole truth about Christ dying on the cross is that he took the punishment for our sins. Upon his holy soul, he was bearing the wrath of God. That's the whole truth about Christ and his death. And we believe that. That's the gospel. And that sets us free. Every Christian, every believer, these two brothers who will come to be baptized, when they stand before God on the final judgment day, they are free from condemnation. Why? Because Christ took the condemnation upon himself. He suffered and died for me. And I believe that because it is true. The truth has set you free. These are wonderful words. One more thing just before I leave. There's one other way in which the truth sets us free. And this was very true for myself when I came to the Lord. The truth sets us free from fighting against God, from warring against God. You know, your life as an unbeliever, if there are unbelievers here, I trust there are, your life as an unbeliever is just one long struggle. It's one long fight against God, and it's hard. I lived 30 years as an unbeliever, and it was hard. It was hard to try and keep fighting against my conscience whenever I sinned. It was hard to keep ignoring people talking about Christianity. It was hard to go to church and just close my ears to the preaching. Perhaps there's somebody here who's just like that. You don't want to listen, but you know it's hard for you. You don't want to listen. You've closed your ears off. You're fighting against God. Don't you want rest? And these two brothers, they're going to come and give their testimonies, and you're going to have to fight again. Fight against God. This is not true. This is all rubbish. It's so hard to fight against God. Don't you want to be free? Free from that continual warring against God. The truth sets you free, dear friends. It's far easier to believe. Believe the truth that Christ calls you even this night, calls you to repentance and faith, is willing to receive you no matter how long you've left it, no matter how obstinate you've been and hard-hearted. Why would you keep fighting? Cease the fighting. Come and know peace and rest in Christ. The truth will set you free, and you will know that blessed joy in knowing that Christ is your Savior. Trust in the truth. There are no regrets. There's nothing to be ashamed of. If you believe in a lie, well, of course, you stand vulnerable to being exposed and embarrassed and ashamed if you believe in a lie. But there's no reason to be ashamed of the truth. And when Christ appears, we shall not be ashamed of him. He will not be ashamed of us. We shall live in the light of his truth forever. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, Lord, how we thank thee that we have the truth of thy word, that thou art the God who will not lie to us. Turn us away from this world of falsehood. The world is full of lies. The world is full of emptiness. Help us, O Lord, if there is anyone in this place fighting against thee, help them, O Lord, that they may love thy truth and know that rest and peace in thee. Thou art the God who calls us. Lord, may that gospel call be effectual even this night. Bless all that remains this evening, we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.